Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God for his promises. Praise God for his promises. Man, I don't know about you guys, but when it comes to the promises that God has made, there are so many. Right? We could only put so many into a video, because if we did all of the promises that God gave us in the scriptures, that'd be the whole sermon. Right? Because that's how many promises that God has made to you and I. Amen? Yes. Hallelujah. And with that being the case, we are in November. We are in November. We have entered the season of Thanksgiving. We have entered the season of Thanksgiving. And I don't know about you guys, but God has given me so much to be thankful for. Amen? Yes. God has given me so much to be thankful for. And so as we enter this new month, we enter this new theme being thankful for the promise. Are you thankful for the promise that God has made to you in your lives? Hallelujah. And so in preparing for this new month, this new theme, it brought me into the scriptures. And as I went through the scriptures, I saw so many promises that God has offered us. But God brought us back to Genesis. And as I was having my conversation with God, I was like, Lord, I've never given a sermon just from one book in the Bible and it be the whole Old Testament. And God was like, it's okay, I have. And I said, well, Lord, praise God. That just confirms that you'll be the one giving this sermon today. Amen. Because God help us if there's anybody else that's sharing the word, right? We want to make sure that when we hear the word of God, when we hear the promises of God, that those promises, that word is coming from God. Because if it comes from anyone else, if it comes from any other source, it has the possibility of being broken. But when God makes a promise, oh, is he faithful to complete it? Amen. And so it brings us back into Genesis 12, and it says, now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you. And the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now that is a promise that only God can give. Because he is saying that every family on earth will be blessed through Abraham. And it's not just the families that existed at the time of Abraham. It is every family thereafter. And I have news for you guys. You're all on earth. Right? Sometimes it may feel like there's some people here from other planets. But we're all on earth. And so that blessing, that promise bleeds into us too. But guess what? Every sinner is also on earth. Every sinner that we know is also on earth. So the blessing is for them too. And we need to do our part in letting them know there is a blessing available to you. How do I know? Because God has given it to me and he can give it to you too. Amen? And so today what we want to talk about is a promise made, a promise kept. Are we ready for the word of God today? Hallelujah. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you right now and we give you all of the glory, all of the honor, and all of the praise, oh God. Lord, I pray that you would just allow your promise to just bleed through this sermon here today, oh God. I pray that you would take hold of my lips, take hold of my tongue, oh God, and allow only your word to burst forth from this altar today. And God, I pray that the word that you have prepared would be a word that would be able to penetrate past our flesh, oh God, past our hearts, hearts, oh God, but that it would hit us deep in our souls, oh Lord, that we would be able to understand the promise that you have made is not empty, oh God, but overflowing, oh Lord. And we thank you, oh God, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. So we know all the families of the earth will be blessed through Abraham. And as the story continues, or as I like to say, the historical recounting of what the Word of God says, because the three little bears is a story. The Word of God is history. Amen? And so it says, so Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Now Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And I want you to remember that age. He was 75 years old. So don't plan on retiring anytime soon when it comes to doing the work of God. Amen? 75 years old when God called him to leave everything that he knew, to leave his father's house, to leave his land, to leave everything he was comfortable with and go forth with his work. And verse 5, Abram took Sarai his wife and Lot his nephew and all of their possessions which they had accumulated and the persons which they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan. Thus they came to the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land as far as the site of Shechem to the oak of Moreh. Now the Canaanite was then in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants, I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. Saints of God, how many of us have ever received a promise and we get to where it is that God has called us to go and it seems like somebody else is in possession of the promise that God has made for you? We get there and we say, God, I thought that was for me. I thought that promise was for me. Why is that person living in the promise you've made to me? But saints of God, the Lord appears to Abram and reminds him, to your descendants, I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him because he understood when God speaks, it happens. When God makes a promise, he is faithful to complete it. Saints, when I go and I do the gardening in my home, I love to garden when the season is upon us. And I know that it seems like it's still gardening weather out there, but don't be fooled, okay? It's still winter. Well, we're getting there. But the fact of the matter is, when I do gardening, sometimes I don't have the opportunity to put the seeds in the ground myself. Sometimes somebody else puts the seed in the soil. Sometimes somebody else tends to that seed. Sometimes somebody else tends to the growth of that plant for the season. And then one day I'll come along and I will come to that plant and I will purchase that plant. And I will take that plant and make it a part of my garden. Because even though someone else was in the possession of the promise that God had made me, I was the one that God intended to reap the fruit from that plant. And so sometimes other people in the world are in possession of your promise because God has work for them to do on that promise before it gets to you. Before it gets to you. But that doesn't change the fact. What God has promised you, he will give to you. Amen? Amen? And it goes on into verse 8. Then he proceeded from there to the mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. Abram journeyed on, continuing toward the Negev. Now, the story of Abram spans over 20 chapters in Genesis, maybe more than that. And for the sake of time, and I don't want you to get some concerned, we're not going to go over every single chapter right now. It's going to be okay. All right? So what we're going to do is we're going to fast forward a little bit. Ready? Genesis 13. And it says, so Abram went up from Egypt to the Negev, he and his wife and all that belonged to him, and Lot with him. You need to understand that now, at this point in time, Abram has gone on this journey, and he went down to Egypt when he was not supposed to. And when he went down to Egypt when he wasn't supposed to, there were things that took place that should not have happened. Abram was lying, and there was a lot of deception going on, and it yielded results that it was not supposed to yield. But here is the beauty of the grace of God. Because it says that in verse 2, Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the Negev as far as Bethel to the place where his tent had been at the beginning. Between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar which he made there formerly. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Why is this significant? How many of us understand that we will make mistakes in our lives? We will. It's going to happen. We're human beings. And if you try to live the rest of your life to be perfect beings, you're going to be very depressed beings. Because only God is perfect. Okay? But here's the thing. In the midst of imperfection, Abraham was able to go back to an altar that he had built in a place where God had done something in his life. And he didn't have to travel that far to get back to a point in his life that reminded him that God had done something in his life. The problem that we run into today is that we go on this life and that we look at ourselves and rely on ourselves and forget to give God glory when we're supposed to give God glory. And when the moment comes when we hit a trial or a tribulation and it seems like the world is falling apart, we have not given God his place for so long that when we have to look back at an altar that was built, it's so far away that we don't remember the last thing God did for us. Now, I'm not saying you have to walk around with stones in your pocket and build little altars as you go along in your life. But what I'm saying is, if I go around this room and I ask you, what has God done in your life? It shouldn't take you but 3 seconds to come up with something that God has done in your life. Because if you truly have been giving God the glory, if you truly have been giving God the credit, if you've truly been giving God praise, it should not take you that long to think about something that God has done in your life. Because I don't know about you, but I know that God has been doing some real work in my life. And I know that God has been bringing dross up from within in my life. You see, Gina and I, we just got to celebrate 11 years of marriage on the 1st of November. And we, hallelujah. And we praise God for 11 years. But let me tell you, those 11 years had had some ups, but they certainly have had some downs while we were at it. But the beauty of it all is that God is in the middle of our marriage, and we serve a God that brings down mountains, lifts up valleys, so that we can continue on the journey that God has set us on together. And so we have good times, we have bad times in our lives. But every time God does something in your life, you have to build a memory of what it is that God has done for you. Because if you're not building memories of what God has done for you in your life, you're going to forget in the middle of a trial and tribulation that God brought you through something even worse. And if he brought you through that, he'll get you through this too. And so we cannot live this life not building the memories of what God has done and completed. And it goes on in verse 5, it says, now Lot, who went with Abram, also had flocks and herds and tents. In verse 6, and the land could not sustain them while dwelling together, for their possessions were so great that they were not able to remain together. That's a lot of possessions. If only two families together could not reside in the same land. two families together could not reside in the same land. But Abram seeks the counsel of God, and he continues on into verse 7, says, and there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. Now, the Canaanite and the Perizzite were dwelling then in the land. So Abram said to Lot, please, let there be no strife between you and me, nor between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brothers. Abram loved Lot, loved him so much that despite the fact that he was his nephew, he said, you are my brother. And he knew that there was strife in the land so long as they were together. Saints, there are people in your life that you love, but God has said to you, let go. There are people in your life that God has said, I understand that you love them, but the more you fight my will, the more you're going to lose the very thing you desire. And he says, it is better for you to separate and live your life and let me take care of you, rather than you fight my will and stay together and then there be strife in your household. Now let me clarify. Husbands and wives, that does not mean that if you're getting on each other's nerves, that you go and say, honey, I don't want there to be strife in our house. And so we need space. You go to the left, and I'll go to the right. No, that's not what I'm saying. Because like I said, marriage, I'm pretty sure if you got married the same way I got married, ended with, till death do us part. Till death do us part. Now, I understand there are situations and circumstances where people can no longer be together, but understand what I'm saying. I'm not saying it. God said, till death do us part. Are we human? Are there going to be ups? Are there going to be downs? Absolutely. This is a fallen world. But there is nothing in this world that is worth it that is easy. Everything is hard. You just have to choose which hard it is that you're going to go with. And so Abraham, even though he loves Lot and he wants to be with Lot, understands that God has called them to find separate places to live. And so in verse 9, is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If to the left, then I will go to the right. Or if to the right, I will go to the left. And it goes on. After they have found their places in the world, after they have separated, God goes before Abraham and says, now lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are. Northward, southward, eastward, westward. For all the land which you see, I will give it to you and to your descendants forever. I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if anyone can number the dust of the earth, then your descendants can also be numbered. Arise, walk about the land through its length and breadth, for I will give it to you. Then Abram moved his tent and came and dwelt by the oaks of Mamre, which are in Hebron. And there he what? Built an altar to the Lord, because God had done something in his life. And saints, you have to understand that even in the midst of the hurt, even in the midst of the separation from Lot, whom he loved, God reminded him, even though you may be feeling this way right now, it doesn't change my promise. It doesn't change my promise. My promise still stands. And it goes on to Genesis 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. saying, "Do not fear, Abram. I am a shield to you. Your reward shall be very great." Oh, praise God. It's not just going to be good. It's not just going to be great. It's going to be very great. And it goes on. It says, Abram said, "Oh, Lord God, what will you give me since I am childless? And the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus." And Abram said, "Since you have given no offspring to me, one born in my house is my heir." Then behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "This man will not be your heir, but one who will come forth from your body, he shall be your heir." And he took him outside and said, "Now look toward the heavens and count the stars, if you are able to count them." And he said to him, "So shall your descendants be." Saints of God, God could have carried on that conversation in that tent. God could have very well kept talking to Abram in that tent, where it was warm, where it was cozy, where it was safe. But it says, God took him outside and said, "Look toward the heavens." Saints, sometimes we get comfortable living in the place that we are. Sometimes we get comfortable living inside of our tent. Sometimes we get comfortable with the roof over our head. And we get so comfortable with the roof over our head, we forsake the stars that God had intended for you to have. We forsake the fact that God wants you to get out of your comfort zone and look at the extent of the blessing that he has for you in your life. And he says, go ahead and count the stars in the sky. And even the ones that you can't count, understand there are stars you can't even see that still apply to the promise. There are blessings that I have for you that number the stars in the sky. And there are those blessings that you can see, and those are those blessings that you cannot see. But it still doesn't change the fact. You need to get out of your comfort zone. You need to get out of the place where you have found complacency and be able to get to the place where God needs you to be so that you can operate where he has intended for you to operate. Do you hear me, church? We're getting too comfortable with where we are. We're getting too comfortable with the blessings that God has already given us. But we're leaving everything else on the table. We're leaving everything else on the table for the sake of comfort. And it goes on and it says, then he believed in the Lord, and the Lord, he reckoned it to him as righteousness, Abraham. And so the Lord saw the faith that had increased in Abraham when he saw the stars in the sky. Saints, will you get out of your comfort zone today and believe God is who he says he is? Will you get out of your comfort zone and believe that God is who he says he is? Will you understand that the blessings that he has given you already are only there to prepare you for the blessings that he is yet to give? Then go forth out of your tent and count the stars. It goes on into Genesis 16. Now Sarai, Abraham's wife, had borne him no children, and she had an Egyptian maid whose name was Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, "Now behold, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Please go into my maid. Perhaps I will obtain children through her." So Abram listened to the voice of Sarai. Hold on. Sarai, I know you know the promise of God. Abram, I know you know the promise of God. Whose voice are you listening to? Because it says he listened to the voice of Sarai, and then he did what she told him to do. That's a problem. That's a problem. Okay? Because sometimes God gives us promises, And we want to see that promise come true so bad. We want to hold on to that promise so bad that we'll do whatever we want to do to get it, rather than letting God do what he said he'll do to get it. See, we try to take things into our own hands and try and complete God's plan. You can't complete God's plan. You can only do his will. And when you complete his will, he'll finish his plan. So in this moment, Sarai takes it into her own hands, makes this suggestion, and it goes on. It says, after Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, Abram's wife Sarai took Hagar the Egyptian, her maid, and gave her to her husband Abram as his wife. He went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her sight. And Sarai said to Abram, may the wrong done me upon you, I gave my maid into your arms, but when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her sight. May the Lord judge between you and me. Hold on, Sarai. Hold on. You gave me a suggestion, and then I did it, but then you're blaming me as if you didn't make the suggestion. Now, don't worry. I'm going to get to Abram. But in the moment, Sarai, take accountability for your actions. Take accountability for your actions. And it goes on and says, but Abram said to Sarai, behold, your maid is in your power. Do to her what is good in your sight. So Sarai treated her harshly, and she fled from her presence. Hold on, Abram. I thought you were the head of the household. I thought you were Father Abraham, Father Abraham. Just because Sarai gave you a suggestion didn't mean you had to do it. You see, there are a lot of people in this world that'll try and give you suggestions. They'll try and give you wisdom. They'll try and give you direction. But make sure that you're listening to the voice of God and not the voice of man. And so Abram refuses to take responsibility. Sarai refuses to take responsibility. And then that leaves Hagar. Hagar says, forget this nonsense. I'm out. And she fled from her presence. Now the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, by the spring on the way to Shur. He said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, where have you come from? And where are you going? And she said, I'm fleeing from the presence of my mistress Sarai. And the angel responds, return to your mistress and submit yourself to her authority. Because you see, Hagar was under a covenant with Sarai as a servant. And that covenant, that agreement, was not conditional. Too often we find ourselves in situations where we'll say yes to something and then we'll just kind of in the fine print say, so long as it works out in my favor. That's not how this works. When God calls you to do something, you're going to do what God has called you to do. And in those times, the agreement was that Hagar was servant to Sarai and it was not conditional. Right? I say all the time, I really believe that God saved me at the point where he saved me. Because if I was a Christian as a child, I would have met Jesus way sooner. Because I would have read the scriptures and I would have read this, right? And then I would have heard these famous words that so many of us have heard before, right? I brought you into this world and I'll take you out. You've all heard that, right? See, if I would have been saved too soon, I would have been like, excuse me, Mom? God brought me into this world, and only he can take me out. And then I would have met Jesus. Now, children, I'm not saying to say that to your parents. You hear me? That's what they call, in my profession, a joke. But the fact of the matter is that we cannot actually, in seriousness, pick and choose our children, and our relationship with our children can't change on a conditional basis. Once God has brought a child into your life, the agreement is this: you will care for that child, you will tend to that child, and you will make sure that child has everything that child needs. Because that is the relationship that you're supposed to have. When we operate outside of that, we operate outside of God's will. And unfortunately, we live in a world that are with a lot of people operating outside of God's will. And so the angel of the Lord tells Hagar, return to your mistress and submit yourself to her authority. But he doesn't just stop there. He says, moreover, the angel of the Lord said to her, I will greatly multiply your descendants so that they will be too many to count. You see, even in the midst of disobedience, even in the midst of disobedience on the part of Sarai, on the part of Abram, on the part of Hagar, God is in the midst and still shows mercy. And still shows that, don't worry, I've got this. If you just submit yourself to my will, I've got this. If you just submit yourself to my authority, I've got this. Just don't operate outside of my plan, outside of my will, and you'll see the promise still stands. And so it goes on to Genesis 17. Now, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will establish my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you will be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I will make you the father of a multitude of nations. I have made you exceedingly fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come forth from you. He says, your lineage will consist of authority. Your lineage will consist of royalty. Your lineage will consist of kings. Why? Because of me, says the Lord. Because of my promise. But this only comes forth with your obedience. I have made you exceedingly fruitful, says God. I will make nations of you, says God. I, the great I am, will have kings come forth from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your descendants after you. Abram, if you just follow me, if you just continue to just follow my direction, if you just continue to submit yourself to me, Abram, the promise that I'll give you is this: not only am I going to be God to you, but I will be God to your children. I will be God to your children's children. I will be God in your lineage for generations to come because of my everlasting covenant. And it says, I will give to you and to your descendants after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. I will be their God. Abraham, everywhere that your feet have touched, I will give to your people. Everywhere that you have traveled, I will give to your people. And as I continue to give it to your people, they will continue to have those blessings go on forever. Why? Because it's an everlasting possession of God. And he will be God to them and to you. And it goes on and he begins to speak to Sarai. And it says that God says to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her. And indeed, I will give you a son by her. Then I will bless her and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, not out loud, will a child be born to a man 100 years old? And will Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? Are you kidding, Abraham? Are you kidding? We're talking about the God who increased your silver, increased your gold, increased your cattle, increased your reach, increased your land, increased your population, increased so much that you and your nephew couldn't even be in the same place together. And you think it's a problem for him to put a baby in her womb? He created the world in 7 days. He created everything. Actually, he created everything in 6 days. He was done and just chilled on the seventh. And you think it's a problem, an impossibility to place a child in your wife's womb? All things are possible for the God I serve. And it goes on, it says, Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. But God said, no. But Sarah, your wife, will bear you a son. And you shall call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. I love the clarity of God. Because he said, I already told you, Abraham, that I'm going to establish my covenant with you. And I'm going to establish it as an everlasting covenant for your descendants after you. And in case you didn't understand that, I'm going to give you a son. You're going to call him Isaac. And when he's born, I'm going to establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. God says, my promise is this, what I say to you today will continue to be true tomorrow. And even the tomorrow that you don't see, my covenant will still stand. And in verse 20, as for Ishmael, I've heard you. And behold, I will bless him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall become the father of 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. Notice how it says that he will make him a father of 12 princes. Because God wants Abraham to understand that I'm going to make a covenant with him, but your covenant is greater. Because he'll have princes, but you'll have kings. You will have kings. And even though God blesses Ishmael and gives him all the blessings that he promised him, we know historically speaking today, that didn't quite work out, did it? Because even to this day, the family of Ishmael is in strife with the families of Abraham. And there's still turmoil in this world. But it goes on, and we got to understand, God is going to bless who God is going to bless. We cannot control what people do with those blessings. We can't. You know, when I got deployed, when I was coming back home from Afghanistan, and they gave us a lot of money while we were out there, we got paid for doing the work that we did. One of the things I used to tell my soldiers all the time, I said, don't buy a car. I know your guys are going to have, because it's Afghanistan, what are you spending your money on, right? And so I said, don't buy a car when you get home. Take that money and invest it. Put it into something that will work for you, not drain from you. And sure enough, when I came back to that unit, because I got medevaced out of there, and when I finally came back home and I finally got to there, the whole parking lot looked like a new car dealership. Cadillacs, BMWs, it was crazy. I was like, did something happen while I was gone? Did we get a pay raise that I don't know about? But what did they do? They spent all of their money on something that they wanted for a moment. 6 months later, I went back. It looked like a used car dealership because they couldn't sustain that lifestyle, right? They couldn't sustain that lifestyle. What I did, I invested our money. My wife made sure we got all of our debts paid off, and we bought a house. And to this day, we still live in that house. And since then, praise God, he has provided and provided and provided. Why? Because God is going to bless who's going to bless, but you can't tell people what to do with that blessing. All you could do is pray that they follow the will of God. And that's not a boast about what Pastor Raphael has, because I don't have anything of my own accord. Everything I have belongs to God. So God, you do what you do with it. I don't even like to call it my house sometimes. It's God's house. I just have the pleasure of sleeping there. Right? Because somehow, some way, he makes sure it all gets taken care of. Right? But at the end of the day, when God makes a promise, he's faithful to carry it out. So long as we are faithful to stay inside of his will. And so it goes on and it tells us in Genesis 21, then the Lord took note of Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. So Sarah conceived and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the appointed time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Then Abraham circumcised his son, Isaac, when he was 8 days old, as God commanded him. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. 25 years. 25 years passed from the first time God promised Abraham he would make him a father of many nations to the first step in that promise. 25 years. Saints, I don't care if God made a promise to you yesterday, last week, last month, last year. I don't care if he made a promise to you 10 decades ago, if you're that old. But if it was a promise that God had made, he's going to fulfill that promise. Not when you want to. When he wants to. During the time that he has appointed for you. And when he makes that promise and fulfills that promise, glory to God. Glory to God. 25 years just for the first step. 100 years old. And Sarah says, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. saints of God, as long as you live on this earth, God's promises will not stop. So long as you live on this earth, the work will always be there to be done. So long as you are on this earth, praise Him, glorify Him, worship Him, because He is worthy of these things until the day you see Him again or He comes back, whatever happens first. But you best praise Him in the meantime. That's why I don't believe that I'm ever going to retire in my life. I love it. I was talking to a pastor years ago, and he said that he never believed in retirement. I was like, hold up, buddy. What do you mean you don't believe in retirement? He says, I don't believe in retirement. What I believe is being repurposed. Because God just gets you to finish this job, and then He's got the next one ready. And so He repurposes you for the next work, right? He just repurposes you for the next work. And I was like, oh, glory to God. I said, I like that. I like that. Because that means as long as I have breath in my lungs, He'll never be finished with me. He will never be finished with me. And it goes on, it tells us in Genesis 22. Now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. Actually, he says, Abraham! The exclamation point. And he said, here I am. Here I am. He said, take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah. And offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. God is very specific. He says, take your son, your only son that you love. His name is Isaac. And sacrifice him to me. And you would think that Abraham would be shaken. Some would say, you would think Abraham would be shooketh. But what's the first thing that Abraham does? Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and Isaac, his son. He split wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go over there, and we will worship and return to you. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on together. And Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father! And he said, here I am, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood. But where's the lamb for the burnt offering? Isaac is like, hold up. He's old enough to know better. He's seen his father do an offering or two in his life. And he sees fire. He sees wood. He sees a knife. But he doesn't hear anything going, bah. But I love Abraham's response. Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. Abraham, in the midst of knowing what God is asking of him, not even for a moment doubts God. And even as he's going to do what it is that God has called him to do, he doesn't even let Isaac know the stress that I'm sure he's going through right now. And tells Isaac, don't worry, God will provide. And they go on to verse 9. They came to the place of which God had told them, and Abraham built the altar there. and arranged the wood and bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham! Abraham! He said, Here I am. He said, Do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Saints, sometimes we get the promise that we have been asking for. We get the promise that God has been delivering. We get that promise. And as soon as we get that promise, we want to hold on to that promise. We want to cherish that promise. We want to care for that promise. And you know what happens in the process is that promise becomes God. Becomes God in your life. The promise can never become greater than the person who granted it. And so God tests Abraham's heart to make sure that he understands, Abraham, I've given you that promise. And at any point in time, I can take that promise back. Why? Because I am greater than that promise. And the beauty of this is, it goes on, it says, Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up a burnt offering in the place of his son. Saints, if you are willing to let go of the promise, you will recognize God has a greater one for you yet. And even in the midst of when God asks you to release that promise, he may just say, no. As a matter of fact, I don't want you to give me that promise back. Actually, what I want, because you have submitted yourself to me, is to make that promise even greater. To make that promise even greater. And he provided. And Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it will be provided. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son. Indeed, I will greatly bless you, and I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of the heavens and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your seed shall possess the gates of their enemies. God goes through every single time over the course of the 25 plus years that God was walking with Abraham and reminds him of every step, every moment that he reinforced the promise. He reminded him, your descendants will be greater than the amount of sands on the beach. Your descendants will be greater than the stars in the sky. All the land that you have walked, I will give it to you and in your descendants. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice, says the Lord. Because Abraham did not withhold his only son, the true end of the promise is this: God did not withhold his only son from us. Because of the obedience of Abraham so many generations ago and not holding anything back, God said, I won't hold anything back from you. You are willing to give your only son the greatest promise that I had ever given to you. You're willing to give that to me? I am going to give you A promise that will outlast death. I will not hold back my only son for you. But when the time comes to sacrifice my son, I won't even hold that back from you. I will give him to you for your sake, for your salvation. I will give you everything. Why? Because I had a promise that was made, and that will be a promise that is kept. Saints of God, he has made a promise in our lives greater than any promise you and I can ever make. And the difference between the promise that God has made and the ones that we make is that his promise can never be broken. 25 years, Abraham waited to see that promise come to fruition. Saints, as we worship our God together here in a moment, I need you to understand, if God has given you a promise in healing, it will come. If God has given you a promise to provide, it will come. If God has given you a promise in your family, it will come. Why? Because if not on this earth, there will be a day where there is no more tears. There will be no more sickness. There will be no more pain. God is faithful to carry out his promise. My prayer today is that you would be faithful to giving him the glory, the honor, and praise that he deserves. Why? Because he is God. He is the great I am, and he has held nothing back from you. So hold nothing back from him. Amen? Let's worship.
The Lord is upon me, his anointing is empowering. The kingdom of the Lord is within me, and he's calling me to the heavenly. Be seated in heavenly places, just like heaven, just like heaven on earth. Favor and graces, just like heaven, just like heaven on earth. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Heaven, heaven on earth. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Heaven.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Saints of God, we're on this earth until we're no longer on this earth. I know that you've heard it said that life is short, but I've got news for you. There's nothing else on this earth that you're going to do longer than live. There's nothing. But the reason that life is short is because eternity is longer. Eternity is longer. So when the time comes for us to be able to be placed in eternity, the question will be, what did you do on this earth? What impact did you leave? What souls have you introduced to the great promise of Christ? We are in a season of thanksgiving. God has done great and abundant things in your lives. Whether we recognize it or not, God has done mighty work in every single one of your lives. So when the time comes and someone tests you and they call you out and they say, why do you believe in God? Why do I believe in God? Because He is great. Why is He great? Because He has set me free. He has brought healing to me. He has brought healing to my family. He has brought provision into my life. He has done all of these things. And there is no scientific fact that you can give me that can be contrary to what God has done in my life. I was having this conversation with someone just the other day. Saints, you have to understand, I am not supposed to be walking right now. I am not supposed to be walking. I shouldn't even be able to breathe on my own. At the end of first service, I was talking to somebody and I told him, I said, do you know I'm supposed to be taking 10 different medications every day to stay alive? Whether it be pain, spasms, breathing issues, all these different things. Every time I go to the doctor, he looks at me and says, I just don't understand you. That's because you don't understand God, and none of us ever will, so don't try. Now, I'm not saying be unwise about this. If God is telling you to take that medication and that's the wisdom He's asking you to operate in that wisdom. But operate in the understanding, knowing that your God's name is Jehovah Rapha. He is a healer. And are there moments in my life where I have to take these medications? Absolutely. But I have never once let those situations and circumstances define who I am. I have never let those things limit me from doing what God has called me to do. I have never let anything be my identity other than God. So I'm here today to tell you this. God has made you a promise. Hold on to that promise because no one else will hold on to it for you. As a matter of fact, many people are going to try to rob you of that promise. Many people are going to try and take that promise from you. Don't let them take what they have never given you. You can only give it to them. So before we leave today, worship God. And I pray that He reminds you of the promises He has made for you in your life. And I pray that when you hear that promise again, that you understand He is faithful to carry them out. I don't care if there's someone else currently in possession of your promise. Like I said, God might need them to do all the work for you before He gives it to you. And if that's the way God wants it to be, praise Him. Less for me to do. But don't let the world rob you of the peace that He has promised, of the healing that He has promised. I keep saying these things over and over again because people need to hear this. Don't let the world rob you of the thing that they didn't give you. And let God be who God is in your life. So God, I come before You today and I pray, oh God, that You would reignite the fire in the lives of those who have lost sight of the promise, oh God. Lord, if we have gone a certain amount of time where we haven't given you glory and praise. Forgive us, God. And let us build that memory, build that altar, so that we remember what you've done. And God, I pray that if there's healing needed in this house today, that you would pour that healing out, oh God. Not just physically, spiritually, emotionally, mentally. Jehovah Rapha, we call on you. Lord, if there are people who are out there and they don't know how they're going to make it to the next check, Lord, you are our provider. Provide, oh God. Lord, there are people out there who don't know how it is. They're going to care for their children. God, provide. Let them know there's a whole house that you've given them to come alongside them. And Lord, I pray that as you complete all of these promises, oh God, that it will be for one purpose alone. And that is so that you can be glorified and magnified. That people would see more of you and less of us. God, that it would be for the glory and honor and praise of your kingdom alone. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Saints, the altars are open. The blessings are here. Receive them today. In Jesus' name, hallelujah.
Be seated in the heavenly places, just like heaven, just like